for Brother Joe Arthur being able to come this way one more time. Amen. Brother Joe, service is yours, dog.
All right. Thank you, my brother. I appreciate you in the Lord. Don't you like that song they just sang? This I know with all my heart, his wounds that paid my ransom. I didn't get redeemed when I got baptized. I didn't get redeemed when I took the Lord's Supper. I didn't get redeemed when I joined the church. I didn't get redeemed when I got married. I met my wife's mother and thought I needed to be redeemed. But I got redeemed in the blood of Christ. That's grace. In fact, every move of God towards us is grace. Somebody said we're living in a day of grace. Ever since Genesis 1, it's been grace. And it always will be grace. And I want us to sing tonight that first verse of Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. And I want you to sing it real slow, because I'm going to preach on that verse for 3 or 4 nights here. And we're going to break it down and look at it. Amazing grace. It is sweet to the sound and amazing to the sight. You ain't never heard nothing like it. You ain't never seen nothing like it. What God can do in mercy and in grace. Let's stand together and sing that first verse. Sing it out good and loud.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Somebody beside of you and say, I'm saved. And turn back around and say, if you're not, you ought to be. And turn back around and say, if you ain't, you can be. You may be seated tonight. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 23. It's good to be back under the tabernacle. This is my heritage. I love camp meeting, and it's part of my being, and I just like it. And I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. I appreciate the dear man that labored before me last week. He's probably outside of my own family. He's probably my best friend. He's crazy as a bed bug, but I love him. But it takes crazy people to hang around crazy people. That's why your wife hangs around you, my brother. Old Charles Worley used to preach that sermon on, he eats with sinners and receives with sinners and go homes with sinners, and Charles used to preach on the Lord keeps bad company. And his first point was, if you don't think he don't, he hangs around you, don't he? And the Lord is good tonight. I've been arrested in 3 phrases of that first verse of Amazing Grace. You remember what he said? It did what? It saved a wretch like me. Then the second part of that verse, I once was lost, and now I'm found. And the last part of that verse, I was blind, but now I see. And the Lord willing, I want to preach from Luke's Gospel, chapter 23 tonight on a wretch like me. The Lord willing, tomorrow night and Wednesday night, we're going to preach on, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Amen. The Lord willing, on Thursday night, we're going to preach on, I was blind, but now I see. Amen. And
Friday night, the Lord will come back and we'll preach on the rapture. Say amen right there. I met a fellow the other day, told me he didn't believe in that. I said, well, if you're saved, you're going whether you want to or not. Praise God. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 23 tonight, a manifestation of God's amazing grace. Look what it said in Luke chapter number 23 and verse number 39. Here is a wretch being saved. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deed. There is a man admitting he's a sinner. But this man, talking about Jesus, has done nothing amiss. Verse 42, and he said unto Jesus, and I like this word right here, Lord. Somebody said, have you made Jesus Lord? No, he's always been Lord. You can't make him something he's always been. And he said to him, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, pull yourself on the cross and be baptized in the river of Jordan, and I'll think about it. I must be reading out one of them funny Bibles. Let me try that right. Jesus answered and said unto him, shake the preacher's hand and hug the Pope and join the church. Oh, let me read it again. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today. You know what that means in Georgia? Right now. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. I'm interested tonight in verse number 43, where Jesus answered the dying plea of this thief, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. How many will agree with the song tonight that God's grace is amazing? And it is amazing to the sight, and it is amazing to the sound. Nothing like the grace of God. How it can take a sinner and make him a saint. How God in mercy can reach further down than man can reach up. How God can bring our depraved soul to a level of communication with heaven. Because of the grace of God. Hell and the devil move out, and 40 acres of heaven and glory move in. And that's all because of God's amazing grace. And I'm interested tonight in that first phrase of that song. It saved a wretch like me. You say, well, what in the world is a wretch? It is a filthy, low-down, hell-deserving sinner. By the way, guess what all of us were before Christ came into our hearts? A rotten, hell-deserving, hell-bound sinner. You say, Brother Arthur, what gives you the right to talk to this congregation like that? Well, I'm including me in that category. For my Bible tells me that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. My Bible tells me there is none that doeth good nor seeketh after God. My Bible tells me that death is passed upon all men, for all have sinned. My Bible tells me that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Amen. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. My friend Kyla Faye Rowland said it best, I'm so glad that God saves old sinners. Amen. And I love that little line in her song, and the biggest surprise in redeeming old sinners is that he would save Not a sinner like you and not a sinner like them, but a sinner like me. And I believe in this text tonight, this thief upon the cross is a vivid, clear picture of God saving an old wretch. I don't know how you feel about it tonight, but if God can save this repentant thief on the cross, praise God, he can save anybody. And I'm glad there's not a person on planet Earth that the grace of God cannot reach. And the blood of Jesus Christ cannot cleanse. And the Holy Ghost cannot regenerate. Man, I'm glad God is in the business of saving, oh, wretched sinners. Notice in our text tonight some things about this thief that is a picture of God saving wretched sinners. Number one, I want you to see tonight in this thief a young man and his past. Notice the Bible calls this man a malefactor. Now you say, now Brother Joe, what was a malefactor? They were men that were found guilty of crimes against the Roman government. When this passage is written before us tonight, Israel is under the rule of that evil empire, the Roman government. And a lot of times those Jew boys would get sick of that and they would get tired of that. And they would take the law into their own hands and they would cause an insurrection and they would try to cause a rebellion and a revolt to free them out from under that bondage. And I don't know why they would try, because every time they did, they were always caught and condemned and crucified. And these malefactors were young Jewish boys that was trying to break the yoke of bondage that was upon them. And just like all sinners and all people who go the wrong way, he's somebody's little boy. Here is a young man that's gotten with the wrong crowd. Here's a young man that's made some wrong choices. And he finds himself dying upon a cross, reaping the consequences of a bad choice. If you'll study the lives of these malefactors, usually there were at least three crimes they were guilty of. Number one, they were guilty of the crime of rebellion. As I said a while ago, they would cause an insurrection and rebelling against the government. They're trying to free that yoke of bondage that is upon them. They were guilty of being rebels. They were guilty of the crime of rebellion. He is not just a wretched sinner. He is a disobedient, wretched sinner. You say, well, Brother Joe, what has that got to do with us? Every one of us in this tabernacle tonight are guilty of the crime of rebellion. People are not going to go to hell because they drink liquor. People are not going to go to hell because they're whoremongers. People are not going to go to hell because they take God's name in vain. They will go to hell because of rebellion and disobedience and the rejection of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, lawyer Paul lays out the indictment in Romans 5 very clearly and pungent. And he says, by one man's disobedience and one man's offense and one man's sin, all of us are made sinners. Let me tell you the sin tonight that will condemn a person to hell. And that's the sin of rebellion and the sin of disobedience and the sin of rejecting of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you how plain Jesus put it in the Bible. He said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. Man, I'm glad on that Thursday night when God brought me to the end of myself and the Holy Ghost convicted me and called me by name and revealed reveal the gospel to me. I'm glad I didn't say no. I'm glad I didn't turn away. I'm glad I didn't rebel. I'm glad I believed and received and opened my heart, and a dose of blue sky, white cloud, red blood salvation came into my heart because I've obeyed and received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. They were guilty of the crime of rebellion. Number two, there's another crime they were always guilty of, and that's the crime of robbery or thievery. In fact, the matter of the Bible plainly says that this man and his buddies, they are thieves. You see, to support their insurrection, to support their rebellion, they would pillage, they would rob, they would steal, they would violate other people's rights. They would take from others what was not theirs for the taking. They would steal to support their habit. They would steal to support their lifestyle. They're nothing but thieves and robbers taking them and from others what is not theirs. You say, now, Brother Joe, that's pretty good, but what has that got to do with me? Every one of us under this tabernacle tonight are guilty of the crime of thievery. Amen. All of us tonight are nothing but thieves and robbers. You say, Brother Arthur, the audacity to tell this wonderful crowd tonight we're thieves and robbers. Remember, I'm throwing myself in that category. You say, Brother Arthur, please explain to us why we're thieves and robbers. Well, let me answer your question with this question. Why did God create man in his own image? I can tell you this tonight. God did not create man in his own image for man to call his own shot, lord his own life, and run his own affairs. Amen. God created man in his own image to glorify God and to praise God and to worship God and to magnify God in his life. And let me say, God will share his power. He will share his mercy. He will share his anointing. He will share his love. But he will not share his glory. He will not share his majesty. He will not share all of the glory that he is due of. And tonight, if your life and my life is not magnifying God and glorifying God, we are robbing God of what's rightfully his, because it's not your name, and it's not your glory, and it's not your splendor, but it's God's glory, and it's God's splendor, and it's God's name. And the night when men and women and boys and girls are not magnifying God and glorifying God, they're robbing God of the praise and the worship that's rightfully his. You need to step off of the throne of your life tonight and put Jesus Christ on the throne of your life tonight, because he deserves the praise and the worship and the glory and the honor, because he is worthy of all praise and glory. And so we're guilty of rebellion. We're guilty of thievery. Oh, but number three, that was another crime those men would be guilty of, and that was this: murder. The rebellion would get to such a feverish pitch, they would cross that small line and they would take someone's life. In fact, if you'll study the entirety of this scene, there are three malefactors that are supposed to die that day. And we plainly know that one of them, by the name of Barabbas, he's not just a rebellious thief. He's not just a sinning thief. He's not just a wretched thief. The Bible said that he was a murderer. These boys had blood dripping from their hands. I mean, they were so hell-bent to free themselves from that Roman bondage that nothing was sacred and nothing was too bad and nothing was too far. And they would take human life and they would shed innocent blood. Now you say, Brother Joe, you got me on that first one. I will admit that I am a rebellious sinner. And Brother Joe, I don't want to, but I'll admit it. You got me on that second one. Yes, I had been guilty of robbing God of his glory. But Brother Joe, that third indictment, a murderer, I will never admit to that. I will never admit to murder. I mean, I've done some sorry things in my life, but I am not a murderer. Can I promise you that everybody under this tabernacle tonight is not only a liar and a thief, but also a murderer? You say, oh, my Lord, Preacher Joe, I don't have innocent blood dripping from my hands. Nobody has ever had to die because of my sin. Well, let me ask you this question. That day right here in this text, when Jesus puts that cross on his back and he stomps his way to the top of Calvary's brow and they nail him to a cross and they lift him up between heaven and earth, and the blood comes oozing out of his body, and at the pathos of Calvary he cries, "It is finished." Let me ask you this tonight: for whose sins was Jesus dying for? For whose iniquity was Jesus dying for? Oh, for whose unrighteousness was Jesus dying for? Well, I can tell you this tonight: it wasn't for his sins, because he didn't have any. It wasn't because his iniquity, because he didn't have any. It wasn't because of his rebellion, he didn't have any. Boy, I was at the hotel getting ready a while ago, and I walked by the mirror to comb what little hair I got and to brush what little teeth I got and tried to pretty up the best that I could. But as I looked into the mirror, I saw something that sent cold chills up my spine. Just a few minutes ago, you know who I saw in the mirror? Oh my God, this afternoon right over yonder in that hotel, I saw somebody in the mirror and it scared me. You know who I saw? I saw the man that had a whip in his hand. I saw the man that spit in the face of the Son of God. I saw the man that took a hammer and nailed the hands and the feet of Jesus. I saw the hands that put a crown of thorns upon his head. I saw the hands that put a spear in his side. I saw the man that crucified my Lord. And it was me. It was my sin and my rebellion and my iniquity. And you hear me tonight. Every man, woman, and boy and girl on planet earth is guilty of the murder of the Son of God. Did you hear what I said? Every man and woman and boy and girl is guilty of the murder of the Son of God. I want to walk up to Pilate's hall as Pilate's got his hand in that bowl of water washing his hands. And I want to say, Pontius Pilate, let me tell you something, sir. You wash your hands in that bowl of water till your skin ravels up like a frog and you'll never get it off of you. It'll not change the fact you're a sinner. It'll not make you innocent before God. And God that can free you from the murder of the Son of God, and that's that fountain filled with blood that God opened up on Calvary. My God, aren't you glad tonight? He died for wretched sinners. He died for thieving sinners. He died for rebellious sinners. He died for murdering sinners. A sinner by birth, and a sinner by nature, and a sinner by choice. I'm glad he saved a wretch like me. Well, I see a young man and his past. Number two in the life of this thief tonight, I see a guilty man and his punishment. You know what's happened to this young man? The long arm of the law has caught him. His past has come back to haunt him. He now finds himself on death row. He finds himself tonight imprisoned. He finds himself being whipped at Pilate's hall. He finds himself stripped of all of his clothes. He finds himself abandoned by family and abandoned by foes and abandoned by friends. And he finds himself in the hot of the day, nailed on an old wooden cross.
cross. I mean, the sun has parched his lips. The sun has baked his brow. He has sweat till his body fluids are dry. His joints are aching. His body is throbbing with pain. He's been beaten beyond recognition. Why? He's guilty of thievery. He's guilty of rebellion. And he's guilty of murder. He is a guilty man. And he's paying the price for his sin. Oh, but I want to go up to that cross. And as I dodge the blood that runs out of his body, I want to say, hey, hey, Mr. Thief, I feel sorry for you. I've never seen a man in such a shape. But I need to tell you something. The worst is yet to come. I can see that old thief look down that cross and say, my God, Joe Arthur, what are you talking about? I said, old thief, listen to me. I hate to tell you this, but the worst is yet to come. I know your lips are parched. I know your brow is baked with the sun. I know your tongue is cleaving to the roof of your mouth. You're losing your blood. You're going weaker. You're about to pass out. You can hardly get your breath. The pain is excruciating. But Mr. Thief, you hear me. I hate to tell you this, but the worst is yet to come. In a few minutes, that Roman soldier is going to bring that plank, and they're going to break your knees, and they're going to break your legs, and you're not going to be able to pull up and get you in the air. And in a few minutes, you'll breathe your last breath. And Mr. Thief, you hear me? When you breathe your last breath, you will step into the worst part of your suffering. I mean, you think the thirst is bad. If you think the scorching sun is bad. If you think the aching joints is bad. Oh, Mr. Thief, in a few moments, you'll draw your last breath and you'll close your eyes on this bloody hilltop and you'll open them up in a place called hell where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Oh, Mr. Thief, let me tell you something. Hell is hot and hell is real and hell is eternal. I saw a man the other day and I was witnessing to him and he looked at me. He said, let me tell you something, preacher. I'm living in hell right now. I got a bad marriage. My kids have gone crazy. I've lost everything I have. I'm living in hell right now. He said, by the way, how bad can it get? And I called him my name. I said, man, I love you, but you ain't seen a drop in the bucket. Hardly it pales the antediluvian flood that washed this world away. And no one's out of that ark. Hey, that fire and brimstone that rained down on Sodom and Gomorrah pales in the light of this suffering. Those plagues that God pronounced upon the gods of Egypt pale in the light of this suffering. May I tell this congregation tonight, he saves from hell. He saves from hell. May I tell this congregation tonight, in the fear of a sovereign righteous God, there is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. And people go there because they reject Jesus Christ. I too was on my way. I too was like this thief, a half a heartbeat. But I'm glad the grace of God got between me and the flames of hell. And God saved a wretch like me. Oh, Mr. Thief, I know you're tormented. Mr. Thief, I know you're thirsty. Oh, but Mr. Thief, the worst is yet to come. Because Mr. Thief, that pain will never leave. Mr. Thief, oh, that thirst will never be quenched. But worse than that, Mr. Thief, you'll call and nobody answer. You'll beg for mercy and there'll be none. Because I want to tell you what makes hell hell. I mean, you listen to Brother Joe tonight, that fire's real and it's hot. Those worms that dieth not, they're real, they're real. Boy, that extreme torment and that extreme thirst is real. I want to tell you what makes hell hell. There's no God and there's no relationship with God. It's an abandonment from God. It's desolate of God. It's eternal separation from God. I thought about this the other day. I've been pastoring that same little church now for 33 years and I have watched God's children walk through the valleys, climb through 40 acres of hell, climb to the rough top of the mountain. But if God is with his children, praise God, you can take about anything. You can swim about any ocean. You can climb any mountain. You can bear any burden. If every once in a while he'll scrooge up real close to you, whoop, and you feel a good breath of God. Like, my God, can you imagine a place where there's no touch from heaven and no breath from heaven and no presence of God? Can I remind you tonight, if you reject Christ and go to hell, you'll eternally separated from God forever. And that's worse than the fire. That's worse than the thirst. I see a young man in his past. I see a guilty man in his punishment. Oh, but praise God, number three, I see a dying man and his plea. Oh, Lord, I see a dying man and his plea. Here's a man 1 millisecond from the fire. Here's a man 1 millisecond from the worms. Here's a man 1 millisecond from the flames of hell. In fact, he is so close, his mind, his soul is already black by the flames. The very next breath, he'll breathe in the sulfurs of hell. The very next sight will be the smutty walls of hell. The next thing he hears will be the cries in the madhouse of the wicked. He's a millisecond from death. But oh my God, he looked around and said, wait a minute. Oh, just a second. There's got to be something better than this. Woo! Aren't you glad that millisecond from hell, that last heartbeat from hell, that last breath from hell, praise God, the Holy Ghost came to where you were and said, hey, you don't have to die like that. You don't have to go to hell like that. And the Holy Ghost said, look to the cross. Look to the cross. And you cried like the thief. And I'm glad God answers the prayers of dying sinners. Oh, there was two thieves that day. Jesus is in the middle. And one on this side and one on that side. And boy, that thief on this side, he's so reprobate, he's so close to hell, he's so far gone, that he uses his last breath to blaspheme God one more time. That old thief turns his old swollen, bloody face to Jesus and said, if, what do you mean, honey? There's no if about it. He's not the iffy Savior. He's the certain Savior. Amen. If you be the Christ, save yourself and us. One of the Bible writers said they flung it through his teeth. He snarled and growled at the Son of God. He used his last breath to blaspheme and curse God one more time. Boy, I see the death angel as it hovers over that old boy. And finally, they break his legs and he breathes his last breath. And them demons of hell pull him off of that cross and chuck him into hell. And he's still there tonight. He's still there tonight. He's still there tonight. Oh, but over on this side, oh God, over here on this side, and kind of remind you, both thieves were at the same place. Both thieves saw the same crucifixion. Both thieves saw the same cross. Whoop! Both thieves are in arm reach of the same Jesus. But one is so hell-bent to do it his way, he dies and goes to hell. But over here on the other side, and this thief is just as sorry and low down and wicked, but something divine and glory and miraculous is stirring in his heart. And I see the thief on this side. He leans his old bloody face and swollen cheeks and says to the other thief, hey, 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 don't you fear God, man, seeing we're in the same condemnation. He said, hey, we received justly. We're getting exactly what we deserve. You see, he can't move his hands because he's nailed to a cross. He has to gesture with his face and his head. And I see that old thief say, hey, we're getting what we deserve. But this man, talking about the man in the middle, the Son of God, the Rose of Sharon, Lily of the Valley, the sinless seed of the conquering sovereign, God of the ages. Whoop, but this man, oh God, but this man hath done nothing amiss. That little word amiss is an old Elizabethan English term, and it means to sing out of harmony. It means to ride out of line. It means to step out of place. Oh, can I tell you, Jesus Christ never sung out of harmony. He never rode out of the lines. I'm about to go to hacking. Somebody pray for me. He never stepped beyond the line. Everything he did was in harmony. Everything he did was in line. Everything had the divine sanction of his heavenly Father. He's the only man that ever lived that could say with assurance, I do always those things that please my Father. His mind never had a wicked thought. His heart never had an unholy motive. His hands never pulled a shady deal. His lips never uttered a sinful word. His heart never had an unholy motive. His feet never walked a crooked path. Harmless and holy and undefiled and separate from sinners. He knew no sin. He could not sin. He was and is the impeccable, pure, holy, perfect, a Lamb of God. And the blood that flowed from his body is sinless blood and perfect blood and precious blood and permanent blood. But this man hath done nothing amiss. Woo! You know the only hope this wretched sinner's got? To realize he's nothing and Jesus is everything. Can I run a rabbit if I hurry? You know what true faith and repentance is? Realizing you're nothing and realizing God is everything. Oh, tonight, if you realize you're nothing and God is everything, you're on good grounds to step from the bottom to the top. You're on good grounds for God to lift up your depraved soul out of the sinfulness of your flesh. Woo! And lift it up and make it sit together in heavenly places. I'm nothing. He's everything. Hallelujah, what I say. But this man hath done nothing amiss. He runs out of air, pulls himself up again, turns his old bloody face and says, Lord! I want to say he answers to that every time. Somebody high five me on that right there. He answers to that every time. Lord, here's a dying man in his plea. He doesn't say, Lord, I need some more money. Lord, I need some more material things. Lord, I need one more drink of liquor, one more shoot of dope, one more fling at sin. He didn't even say, Lord, pull the nails. He didn't even say, oh God, get rid of my pain. He didn't even say, oh God, oh Lord, take me down from the cross. He just said, Lord, remember me. Oh Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You say, what does that mean? Here's what it means. On this side a thief is going, if you be, and one on this side saying, you is. On this side, one of them says, if you are who you say you are, then do something about it. And this one is saying, he's everything that he claimed to be and a whole lot more, and he is about to do something about it. Somebody holler glory right there. You know what he is saying when he says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You know what he's saying? Jesus, I believe you're a king. And I believe you got a king. Listen, I'm not the smartest rock in the box, but I got enough sense to know this. If you a king, then baby, you got to have a kingdom. I believe you're the king. And I believe you got a kingdom. And it looks like you're about to go. And when you do, remember me. Amen. include me and take me. Boy, they break his legs. That old thief breathes that last breath. Here come the angels of God. Oh, they gently take him off of that cross. Take him to the glory world. As he's sailing through the sky, he's about to go to Abraham's bosom. He's about to go to paradise for a few short hours. Hey! Oh, the Bible said Jesus looked at him. I like this. And Jesus looked at him and said, repent and be baptized. No. Join the church. No. Take the Lord's Supper. No. Live a good. No. Jesus said, verily. You know what that means in North Carolina and Georgia? That means sure enough. Verily, truly, positively, Fanny Crosby, blessed assurance. Verily, I say unto thee, not tomorrow, not in eternity, not next week, but today. Notice what this thief is saying. When you come into your kingdom, I know you're going. I don't know when, but whenever it is, I want to go. And Jesus said, you want to know when? How about now? How about today? Hallelujah. And that thief, he bows his head on this side and opens his eyes on the other side. He's home. He's in paradise. He's saved forever because amazing grace. How sweet the sound. It saved a wretch like me. Woo! If you don't think the old rugged cross makes the difference, look at this text. Here's a man. A half a breath and a half a heartbeat from hell. Whoop! And the next millisecond. Wow. This is awesome. Woo! This is a nice place right here. Oh, about that time, everybody stands to attention. And everybody turns to look at the big door. And two angels open the door. Now the thief realizes why everybody's standing at attention. Oh, because they lifted up the doors. And the King of Glory walked in. Whoop! The Prince Emmanuel walked in. The Conqueror walked in. The Son of God walked in. And he walked in the main door of paradise. Walked down Glory Hallelujah Street. And I believe he walked up and said to that thief, I told you, today you were going to be with me. Today you were going to be with me. Glory to God, you know what makes paradise paradise? Being with Jesus. Being with Jesus. And I believe Jesus and that old thief took a stroll down Paradise Avenue. I can see Jesus and that old thief. Jesus said, look over there. That's some of the family you've never met. Look over there. There's Abraham. Look over there. There's old Joseph. Look over there at Isaac and Jacob. Woo! Look over there at John the Baptist with his brand new head. Don't he look good? Boy, I see that old thief standing there. About that time, somebody bounces up to him and says, oh, I remember you. You were the liar. You were the rebel. You were the thief. You were the murderer. You were the wretch. How did somebody like you ever wind up in a place like this? And I believe the thief would say, I'm with him. I'm with him. You remember that old song we used to sing? that when we stand at the judgment seat of God, what will be our plea? What will be our answer? And it's all I have is Jesus. All I plea is Jesus. And if he can save an old thief a millisecond from hell on an old rugged cross, he can save you. He can save me. And I'm glad that he did. It's sweet to the sound. It's amazing to the sight that he saved an old wretch like us.
Amen. And I'm glad tonight the old rugged cross makes the difference. I don't know what we're going to sing in heaven. I don't know. We may sing Squire Parsons' Beulah Land. Who knows? But it wouldn't be surprised if we don't break in a little of this. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Let's stand together tonight. Aren't you glad that he saved an old wretch like you and I? We ought to just lift our hands and say hallelujah. What a savior. We might have just wave at him while we got his attention. Let's sing it to him. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. And thank you, Lord, for giving to me. Here it is. Thy great salvation so rich and free. Praise the Lord.
The bad news is bad. All wretched. But the good news is gooder. I know that ain't what they'd call good English, but it fits right there, amen. Yes, all wretched, all rebellious, oh my. But thank God for God's amazing grace, amen. Oh, I tell you, Fanny Crosby could see pretty good, amen. I say blessed be the name of the Lord tonight. I appreciate the preaching of the Word of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If grace doesn't excite you, you've been shot a curve. You've been shot a curve, amen. Don't you appreciate this man of God? Go a praying, come back in here tomorrow night and hear a little bit more about God's amazing grace. Shake hands, you go. You're liberty if you know his grace. Amen, Joe.